This podcast is produced by To The Moon Creative, located in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Whether you're an established or a new podcaster, To The Moon Creative offers the highest quality audio and HD multi-camera video podcasts. And if you already record your own podcasts, To The Moon Creative also offers affordable audio and video editing services with guaranteed fast turnaround time. For more information, find us online at www.ttmcreative.com. At To The Moon Creative, we do more than just get your podcast off the ground. We help you take it to the moon.
Welcome to the Model Connection Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Harrell. Please like, follow, or subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. The links are in the descriptions. My guest this week is Shannon Prince.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Shannon, thank you for coming on the Model Connection. It is great to have you here, and I thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedule to be here. It means so much to me having one of Nashville's best makeup artists on my show.
I'm flattered.
And she laughs about that. So let's just start. How long have you been a makeup artist?
I have been a makeup artist since 2015.
Okay, now, one thing that I found very interesting in going over your bio, and this just, I find this so interesting. You went to MTSU in 2006.
I graduated in
2006. Graduate. Okay, yes. Great. Okay. And while you were there, I think you majored, or did you just take this subject, agribusiness and agriscience?
I majored in agriscience with a minor in psychology.
Okay. I have got to know. I have been sitting here trying to connect the dots. Agriculture, makeup artist. How did those two connect? How did you, what path did follow to get those two to connect? I gotta know.
Okay. When I was in college, there was a bit where I thought I wanted to be a vet. And then I said, no, maybe not. And then I was thinking more like, okay, wildlife management, conservation. That sounds something up my alley because I've always loved animals. I mean, if there's nothing I wouldn't do for my animals, if there was a way that I could donate a kidney to my pet, I would. That's just me. I love my animals. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. I would run back into the burning building for them before I would anybody else.
Okay.
But also, I've always been fascinated and driven and have loved makeup. People who paint, they have their canvases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how they choose to create. For me, my canvas was my face.
Okay.
And, you know, call it throwback from being a young child who always thought she was a little ugly duckling. I was always concerned with, okay, first off, is my animal okay? Secondly, how's my makeup? It was just one of those things. I guess you could liken it to wanting to be like Dolly Parton. I mean, she's the world's most famous glam hillbilly. And, she's my queen. So, you know, that puts me one step closer to being like her. So I will go out and, you know, brush my dog and bathe him while I have my false eyelashes on. So, but no, what happened is when I wound up graduating from college, I actually had sustained a pretty significant back injury, which limited a whole bunch of going further with anything at that time.
Wow.
And I had to take a break from a lot of things. And it puts a lot of things in perspective about what physically you're going to be cut out for and what you'll actually be able to do in the long term.
Okay.
So I had to take a step back and reorganize some things, tried a couple avenues, tried my hand at selling insurance, hated it. And then I was working as a tech at a physical therapy clinic, and it was just kind of sort of you finally saw the forest through the trees, and it was just like I see people every day, and the only thing I'm looking at is their faces, and I'm thinking is, oh, she would look great if she did this. Oh, that is the wrong color on her. Oh, my God. And it was suddenly it was like, oh, hello, moron. This is what you want to do. It's physically, you know, not as demanding as a whole bunch of other things, but it was like, okay, let's pursue this avenue and see where it takes me. So
that basically
that's how I'm here.
So that basically answers my next question I was going to ask you was actually going to be how or what made you decide that you wanted to be an MUA? That was it. Hey, and she's also psychic, okay? I mean, so when you were in college taking agribusiness and agriscience, what were your plans on being in the future by taking those two courses?
Like I said earlier, it was with the idea that I was going to be doing something hands-on with wildlife.
Okay.
You know, I'd thought maybe, you know, park ranger. Then I thought, I know people that have gone on to work with paws. Something that was going to put me, you know, working with animals because, you know, truth be told, I like them better than most people.
Okay, now, when you chose to pursue makeup artistry, you went to the Academy of Makeup Artistry in Nashville. Upon completion of your program there, are you automatically considered a professional makeup artist, or is there other steps you've got to do and prove yourself that you actually know what you are doing?
Upon completion of the program that I did, you are considered to be a trained makeup artist. Professional is one of those terms that are you professional upon graduation? Well, yes, we trained you to be a pro, so yes. But it's also one of those things where you know it when you're there. It's when you've arrived. It's you can call yourself a professional. You can think of yourself as a professional when you get the phone call or the email or the text that says, hey, I specifically sought out, reached out you because I like your work. I've seen your work. I like what you do. And I could have put a listing out for anybody and have anybody answered, but I came looking specifically for you. That's your I have arrived moment of being considered a professional. Like when I was asked out of the blue to, hey, you want to be on a podcast? I was like, okay, sure. I've never done this before, but let's do this. I will try just about anything once. So, again, it's one of those things of, oh, people are interested in me for a podcast? Okay, I must be a professional because people are now asking me. So, here we are.
Yes, here you are. When a photographer describes a look to you that he wants, and I am the world's worst about doing this, I may not use the same terminology that you're accustomed to. It is, I'll say, it is difficult getting the actual description across by words. I don't want to those guys, I've got to Google this look and have this image in print so I can actually show
Absolutely.
You what I am wanting.
Yes.
Have you found that is, I'll say, the preferred way to communicate to you the look that we are wanting?
It would be my preferred way. I can't speak for any other makeup artists or professionals or photographers, but for me, it absolutely helps, whether it's for a photo shoot or whether it's for a client, be it bride, be it prom. I've done makeup for bridal showers, for maternity shoots. And when people come to me with a picture that says, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I like about this picture. This is what I want out of this picture. That enables me to understand what they're thinking in their head more so than just telling me, because I have run across several brides in my career that they will tell you, I want a natural look.
Mm-hmm.
And they will pull up pictures of these beautiful, beautiful inspiration pictures of girls with these very soft, blown out, shimmery eyelids. And then they'll have this beautiful, exaggerated cat liner with the false eyelashes. And usually it'll have a nice red lip with it. And they'll be like, I was wanting something like this, very natural, only a little bit more toned down. And I'm like, okay, first off, to me, natural means naked. So I'm not going to get you ready and have you look naked. We've got to actually put makeup on you. So it helps me decipher what their definition of, you know, natural soft glam is, because I have my idea of what it is, but I need to know what their idea of it is, because I have done brides before where I feel that I'm like, honey, we've gone so natural, I don't even know how they're going to be able to tell you've got anything on, but that is exactly what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've even had some where they're like, okay, we want absolutely natural looking. And by the time I'm done with natural, they're like, well, can we try a little bit more liner? Can we try a little bit darker? And before you know it, they've gone full glam.
Totally so, opposite what they wanted to do.
The exact originally. Opposite. I had a client, it was three ladies that they had told me over communications that you know, they were the mother of the groom and the mother of the bride, and they wanted, you know, just the light, natural look because they were the mothers. They didn't want to look all this, you know, all hoity-toity and dressed up. And when I left, I had emerald green eyeshadow on one of them. I had silver on one of them. Another person had like electric purple on. And I'm like, this is not what y'all told me. So yes, absolutely. Please. I love to see inspiration pictures because that helps me know exactly where you're thinking and where I need to meet you at.
Okay.
So.
And all of that actually leads into my next question. Have you ever taken what a bride, a model, whoever, even a photographer has shown you, and you looked at your subject and you're thinking, I'm thinking it will look better if I did this and that rather than what you want. Have you ever had the authority to actually change the photographer's mind as far as what he wants a model to look like, as far as her facial features?
Changing a photographer's mind? No. Okay. I have not run into that particular experience yet.
I would be someone that, even though I would have this image and this outfit and the lighting and all this set up, I will be asking you, will this makeup work with what I am trying to do? Because you know makeup, I don't, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will be asking your opinion.
I can see that. Let me see. As far as the model, the clothes, bone structure goes, like I said, I've never actually changed a photographer's mind. What I do is my best to make that vision happen.
Okay.
As best it can on what I am given.
Okay.
Now, what that means is, sometimes we have models that have beautiful, large bone structure. I love big, beautiful bone structure. And they can handle, like, a lot more makeup. Like, their eyes are big. They've got tons of surface area on their eyelids. So we can smoke it up. We can blow it out. They can handle it. Or I might have somebody that's got finer, softer features, eyes are a little bit more deep set, and there's not a whole lot to work with. So, by work with, I mean surface area on your eyelids.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to tone it down and reconstruct it a little bit to try to make it work. It's a project one runway kind of thing. You just got to make it work sometimes.
Great, great. Well, okay, great, great. Now, you are so busy as a makeup artist. You have somehow found the time to also be a model. And not only be a model, but you are a cosplay model.
Okay, let me correct you there.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Not costly, because for me, I am a makeup artist first.
Okay.
And a occasional,
occasional
model.
Okay.
An occasional model. And that is, it's another creative outlet. And if I've got the time and I know the photographer, it's one of those things like, oh, you want to shoot? Hey, I've got a really cool idea. I can't think of anybody else who wants to do it. All right, shoot, I'm game. Let's do it. So it's one of those things. It's just another creative outlet for me. So, yes, I do occasionally model, but it's not what I would say I am known for.
No, okay. Point well taken. Point well taken. When you do model, you occasionally have an opportunity to play a character, one that I grew up watching on television many episodes of that I like a lot of young teenage boys had a crush on Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. How did you choose to become Wonder Woman?
Oh, let me see. How does that old line go? Some people are born into greatness. Others have it thrust upon them. I was both born and thrust into it. I am 5'10", so I am an official Amazon. The dark hair already came genetically, so at 5'10" and dark haired, I mean, what other super heroine is there but Wonder Woman? And then my husband, he was a cosplayer when we first got together and did Batman, so it was only a matter of time before I got roped into it.
The two joined forces.
And the logical conclusion for me was, you know, you better be Wonder Woman, because you're not going to pull off somebody who's 5'2". So it's like, all right, let's work, play to my strengths, work with what we got.
So you're saying that, okay, your husband was Batman, so he could not convince you to be Catwoman, huh?
Oh, no, he convinced me to be Catwoman, too.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Oh, honey, who do you want? I got a lot of characters.
Your character of choice is Wonder Woman.
Yes, that is my character of choice. Is what I'm known for.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yes.
So you are Shannon Prince, hair and makeup artist.
I strictly do makeup.
Okay.
I can do what I like to call Pinterest hair, and that is if it's like in 4 easy steps or less, I can figure it out.
Okay.
But I usually leave hair to they're professionals on their own. That is a craft and a skill I do not possess.
Okay. So you are Shannon Prince, makeup artist. Shannon Prince, occasional model. Mm-hmm. And Shannon Prince, very occasionally, Wonder Woman. So, in all three, what are things that you enjoy about each?
Okay. Let's start with
makeup artistry.
Makeup artistry.
Yes.
Okay. I love being this and doing this. Thing I love the most is I get to create. And I get to create different looks. I get to create just a face. Every client that comes to me and I do makeup on whatever look they're going for, they're used to doing it their way.
Mm-hmm.
They are not used to doing it my way.
Right.
So it's going to be two different ways. So when I get to see the look on their face, when they see what I've done, and it absolutely blows their mind that this is me, I can, I look like this, this isn't a trick of the lights or anything like that. This is actually my face. I'm like, yes, this is actually your face. This is what we do. It's a reward to me to be able to see that and, you know, experience with them and then hope they don't cry and ruin it. I just did a bride last Friday, and God bless her. No bride should ever have to go through this, but she had gotten food poisoning the night before.
Oh, no.
And, you know, we were, her entire party, we were all up there. It's like, okay, we're going to be good. You just sit down and rest. We're going to make this happen. And we made it work. We got everybody ready. Everybody looked great. And I worried about her the entire weekend. And on Monday, she sent me this beautiful text of that, you know, you crushed it. I had so many compliments on my makeup. All of my attendants had so many compliments. It was absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. I would recommend you. I would use you again. And I'm just like, that's why I do this. You like me. You really like me. So, but yeah, that is probably what I absolutely love the most is when I see the joy on their faces, mm-hmm. when they see how good they look mm-hmm. at the end of it. Let me see. What do I like about
being a model?
Being a model.
Occasional model.
An occasional model, yes. Again, I enjoy the creativity because for me, where most people would be concerned about, oh, did I take a pretty picture? Do I look good? You know, for me, it's, I know my makeup looks good. I did it. But it's more about putting on the clothes and, okay, who am I in this outfit? Who am I in this outfit? Who am I going to be in this outfit? It's almost like its own version of cosplay just a little bit is you get to change who you are with every outfit you put on. You get to be somebody different, so it takes completely different poses. You get completely different, you know, images from the camera. So for me, it's having the creativity to just be a chameleon and change my skin and change my persona with every click of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being a cosplayer, what I absolutely love the best has got to be when we're dressed up and whether we're doing it for fun, whether we're doing it for charity, when we get little kids that
you read my mind.
And come running 90 to nothing from 3 football fields away. They have forgotten mom and dad. They have forgotten anything else exists. They are hell-bent for leather trying to get to you. Mm-hmm. And they just stand there in awe. And sometimes they just want to stand there. They want to poke you if you're real.
Or not, yes.
Some of them, they don't even care. They just walk right up and they wrap you up in a hug. And they don't want to let go. We were at a school event. And he was dressed as Batman, and there was a little girl, could not have been more than two, and she didn't say anything, she didn't do anything dramatic, she very quietly, very calmly walked up to my husband dressed as Batman. Now, most of the time, kids scream and run away from him.
Wow.
Dressed as Batman.
Batman.
Because he can be a little intimidating and a little terrifying to really young ones. But she just walked up and she just looked at him and then just held her arms up in the air with the universal sign of up. And
pick me up, hold me.
Yeah, pick me up, hold me. And we were like, Batman, you'd pick the baby up. You better pick that baby up.
Yes.
So he picks up this kid and she's just like staring at him. She like touches his cowl. And she's just kind of sort of looking around. Then she sees her parents, and she's just like... And she's just chilling with Batman. He is holding her, and she's like, I got this. Y'all can go on. Like I said, couldn't be more than 2 years old. And she's just standing there in total awe of Batman. Her parents are absolutely losing their minds, cracking up. They think it's the most hilarious thing ever.
Wow. Because
she, I'm telling you, she's just dead calm, just happy as a lark. They come up to try to get her after, you know, they've taken the pictures and everything because, oh, no, it's going to look so cute. And she's just kind of sort of looking at them like, no, I'm good. I'm not leaving here. This is Batman. I'm good. I don't want y'all no more.
And I have it in my mind that when you do this at a venue such as a children's hospital, they totally forget they're sick.
They do.
And you want something that will tug at your heartstrings, that will do it quicker than anything will. I mean, it's what you do for the kids, whether it be at a hospital, a preschool, anywhere. I mean, you have got my total appreciation for what you do, all the joy that you bring
to a
little child's life. Because we don't know what they are feeling inside because many times they can't tell us.
Mm-mm.
And if you can bring them a few minutes of joy that they may be able to forget what they are actually feeling,
mm-hmm.
is worth it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And I'm sure when you leave that venue, you are so close to, if not being in tears yourself.
It's funny you should say that, because two instances come to mind. Because we've done children's hospital visits before. And we did them with a group associated with a convention that we go to regularly. And one instance was we had a celebrity with us, and, you know, he played the guitar.
Right.
That's not what he's known for,
okay.
But that just happened to be he can play guitar.
Okay.
And he brought his with him. And we were all in this kind of sort of playroom, waiting room for the kids that were not quite as ailing as some of the others. And he just started playing his guitar, and we had just an impromptu sing-along dance party. And, you know, everybody was eating it up. The parents were happy, and we're just, you know, dancing, singing along with them. They had an absolute blast. And the next experience is not a happy one. We had just finished our visit, and we were told that parents were coming down the elevator, and that it was the worst day in every parent's life.
Oh, no.
They were going to have to go home and tell their other child that their little brother wasn't coming home.
Oh, no.
And we, don't ask me how we held it together, but all of us held it together long enough to record a short little video for the sibling that was at home, you know, telling them that, you know, we know this is difficult. We love you. Stay strong. Everything's going to be okay. And after that, all of us felt guilty because we were going on with the rest of our day, mm-hmm. going on to have fun. And they were going home to the worst loss that they were ever going to have in their life. So, yes, it will bring you to tears. It will tug at your heartstrings. It's one of the most rewarding things that we do, at the same time being one of the most heartbreaking things that
Imagine
we do.
So, yes. I could talk with you for hours on that one subject.
Well,
but I'm sure if we did, both of us would end up in tears,
oh,
okay?
No, my mascara's too expensive, please.
So you have a don't run mascara on, huh? Okay. Okay, so let's get back to the subject at hand then. Going back on being a makeup artist, have you ever run across the I'll use the term the diva as far as either being a bride, a model. And if you have, how have you professionally learned to handle that diva?
To date, I have not run across the diva.
Count your lucky stars.
Yeah, count my lucky stars. What I have run across is clients that are distracted.
Okay.
Either by people, by their phones, by anything and everything else that's going on. And I wind up having to chase their face all over my chair. And at that point, it's where what I've learned to do is I get very, because I'm normally chatty Cathy with all of them. It's just, it's part of my personality. We've just met. So I'm supposed to talk to, you know, get to know you. You get to know me. We can, you know, establish a rapport, a relationship. And that's when I usually get real quiet. And it's at that point in time, they notice that I'm, you know, kind of sort of being quiet and not engaging at all in what's going on. And I start to get my mom voice. And it is, honey, I need your face right here. Honey, your face. I need you right here. I need your eyes closed. I need you to not move. No, no, no. You don't move. No, don't move. And usually about the time you start, they will start to behave themselves. And then we can get back on track. But yes, I have never run across the diva, but there are difficult people. And if there's one thing I could tell people who sit in my chair, put your phone down. Put your phone down. Do not make me chase your face all over the place.
That
please.
Phone is surgically attached to their hand sometimes. How did they ever get married without a phone in their hand?
I don't know. I am waiting for the day somebody does a wedding and the bride and groom are standing up there and they've got their phones in front of them and it's I do and they do 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 bink. And, you know, then the preacher stands up and sends the mass text out to everybody that's in that's like ding 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 going off in the attendance and it's like, oh, they said I do. And oh, here, cue the music. They're walking away. I am waiting for that to happen. Please, nobody actually do that. Please don't.
That is hilarious. I love that. Oh my gosh.
Put the phone down, please.
There'll be a phone possibly go off in the groom's pocket. Whenever the minister's up are giving the sermon and everything, and all of a sudden comes the phone ringing over the, oops, sorry, cut it off.
Not if you want to live.
At this time, Shannon, I know you have brought some very interesting images. If we can have the first image brought up on our monitor here, Shannon, and have you describe what we are looking at.
This is actually a very, very special picture and little girl to me. Her name is Elise, and she has the distinct honor of being my very first makeup client.
Very first?
Very first.
I figured it would probably be a Mrs. Beasley doll.
No. Although there have been quite a few Barbie dolls that have lost hair, limbs, and everything due to creativity.
Okay.
But no, Miss Elise does the Celebration Horse Show every year. And she needed her makeup done for the horse show. And this is actually one of the few people that I've actually done hair and makeup on.
Okay.
So, but she's got a very smoky, very dramatic eye, cat liner. She's got a very red lip on. One of the sweetest people you are ever going to meet. But yeah, one of my favorite features about her has got to be her eyebrows. They are full. They are gorgeous. They are au naturel. I don't have to do anything to them. I love them. I don't know how she does it, but I go to put makeup on her, and I swear her eyes just keep getting bigger and bigger every time I put makeup on her.
Wow.
But yeah, she's either fixing to, good old Southern term, fixing to, she already has graduated. I think it was Auburn?
Wow.
Maybe, but, mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
And this blonde bombshell is taller than I am.
No way.
Yes. This is Hannah, and she is 6 feet, 6'1", 6'2". So, yeah, I use new neck muscles to, you know, look at her. And this was actually shot in the bathroom of my house. So, yeah, she is actually sitting up on the countertop in my bathroom. But, yeah, we were going for a kind of sort of a full-on glam Marilyn Monroe-esque kind of vibe with the kind of pouty lips and the dramatic eyes and everything, because she could pull it off. Again, she's also one of the sweetest people you ever meet. She is also a hot mess, and I love her that way.
Okay. Okay, now, in my mind, the Marilyn Monroe look is the deep red lipstick. Am I wrong?
She's known for both deep red and a little bit more pink, just depending, but you are not wrong. Yes. And this little girl, first off, her family is awesome. And all of them, 5'11 and up, even their mom. Their mom was 6 feet tall. They all model. They are all incredibly smart. Oh, my gosh. Svenja right here, I think, actually is in... I think she's an Air Force cadet currently. But no, this, to me, this is my definition of what natural naked looks. It's got beautifully, beautifully done skin. Nothing is overdone. There's no harsh lines anywhere. It's just enhancing what is already there, which for her is so freaking much. She was drop dead gorgeous with nothing on. So...
I mean, as somebody not knowing what you had done, I would think, okay, just some lipstick. She's probably 15, 16 years old. I mean, she's just natural.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Actually, when this was done, I think she was maybe 16 or 17. But, yeah, there's foundation, very minimal eyeshadow, some mascara, blush. I'm not even sure I contoured her at all, but yeah, this was this is the naked, bare, natural look. And this is Miss Candace. Now, this was done for, I think, it was for a film, but I don't think indie is the correct term for it, because I don't think it's a well-known kind of thing, but I got a call from her because she was an aspiring actress model, and she's like, I've got this premiere I need to go to. I need to look amazing. So I'm like, I got you. So she has got, first off, she's got gorgeous mocha skin to start with. I mean, what you see with her is that that's almost all her. And this is a little bit more of a glam look because we've got, you know, the dramatic cat liner on. We've definitely got falsies on. We've got shimmer on her lid going on. But yeah, she actually did her own hair for this one. But yes, she is another raving beauty that I've had the pleasure of doing her face several times.
Wow.
So, and this is Miss Kirsten. Miss Kirsten is in Clarksville. And she is, I call her my ice queen, because that's exactly what she looks like. You've heard of RBF.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's got it. And she's working in this photo. But no, she's got the Icelandic blonde hair and those beautiful blue eyes, almost like boyish eyebrows and eyes. But yeah, when you put makeup on her and everything, she turns into this absolutely gorgeous. This to me is a mix between glam and natural, because again, there's no sharp edges, there's no harsh lines, there's nothing super defined. It's very blown out, it's very soft, it's very smoky, but it's a little bit more intense than what natural would be.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. That is why you are one of the most sought-after makeup artists in Nashville. I mean, all of those looks you just brought here are just amazing looks. They seem very simple, but yet I know they have enhanced each of their looks so much that a before and after, I'm like, okay, No, this can't be the same person, can it? No. I mean, just great job. And that leads into my next question. Many photographers don't know how valuable you can be to their project, okay? Mm-hmm. Many photographers, they try to say or do, okay, well, I'm just doing this for fun. If a model can do her own hair makeup, fine, I'll make it work. No big deal. If I'm working on something very special that I want to be proud of, something that I want to showcase my talents, I want everything to be just spot on. Your craft can make it or break it.
Absolutely.
Many of them don't want to pay the extra money to make sure.
Sad but true.
That their project is a make it, okay? How do we get those photographers to not worry about paying you? If you want your project to be a hit, you have actually got to spend the money and do it right.
Correct.
What can you tell a photographer to convince him of that?
What could I tell a photographer to convince him? First off, it's going to be a much better picture for both you and for the model, because ultimately you're looking for a product that both of you can have in your portfolio that you can use to showcase, hey, the model, this is what I can do. The photographer saying, this is what I can do. And it would cut a lot of time spent in Photoshop down on photographers to have us go ahead and, you know, take care of the face, because you'll spend hours. They'll agonize over taking pores out, taking shine out, trying to, oh gosh, all sorts of different things that, of course, I can't think of right now. But when you allow us to either do whatever look you need, be it natural, be it full-on glam, you're cutting your time in half, because we're already going ahead and preparing the face for the lights that you're going to be using, for, you know, the contrast you're going to be using.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about that. There won't be shine. You will have tone. You will have definition. You will have dimension on that face. It's not just going to be a flat, you know, unresponsive picture. It's going to have, you know, some pizzazz behind it.
Mm-hmm.
When you let us get a hold of the face and make it camera ready.
Mm-hmm. I have heard some new photographers since the beginning of the digital age and the advancement of the editing software. They've used the statement, if I can just get halfway right in the camera, I'll fix it in Photoshop. I have always been one of these guys that I try to get it right in the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to use the Photoshop, okay?
Yes.
And by doing that, I trust you,
mm-hmm,
to make it so I don't have to use the Photoshop.
Exactly. Nail on the head.
But there are so many people that don't see it that way. They want to use imaging, editing tools like Lightroom, Photoshop.
And you absolutely can if that's what floats your boat. But, you know, you're going to sit there and take longer. And, you know, God forbid you have a deadline, because you're going to be sitting there agonizing, you know, tweaking here, tweaking there, trying to get it perfect, when if you'd taken the time and gone through the process the first time, you could start with a picture that's, oh, well, hey, that looks pretty good as it is. I'll just adjust that. Maybe adjust that. Okay, next one.
Bingo. Bingo. Get it right in the camera to start with. You don't have to use Photoshop, okay?
I have heard several photographers over my years of doing this that they are adamant about getting it right on the camera.
Right.
Yes. They'll be like, lighting was off. No, aperture. Right. This, that, and the other. And, you know, you'll be standing there for like 30 minutes in the same position just so they can get one shot.
Yes.
And it's worth it to do that. They'll go through all the test ones, but then they will get the shot. And you know it when you get the shot because that's what makes everybody stop and go, oh, hey. Ooh, now that's a good shot. That's what you're looking for. And if you take your time and go through the steps while you're trying to make the shot, you're going to get it versus, all right, I've got a whole bunch of stuff that might could be good after I've worked with it for a while.
Right. In closing, I've got I have a lot more questions that I would love to ask you, but one thing that I think is really important is to mentor those that are coming along behind you. As a professional makeup artist, with the accolades that you have, the advancements that you have done in the industry yourself, what is that one bona fide tip that works that a young makeup artist should know either before she gets started in the industry, after she has been doing it 5-6 months? What advice can you give her, him, that would help them?
Don't take things too personally. One of the very first jobs I did early on was for a young lady that was wanting to get into boudoir modeling and shooting. And that means full-on glam look.
Right.
Now, for anybody that isn't familiar with boudoir, it is the term implied is used. That means where you are not completely nude, but nudity is implied.
In a professional sense.
Now then, the look was full-on glam, and that's what we did. We did smoky. We did false lashes. We did red lips. We contoured her to Jesus, and she looked absolutely amazing. The photographer was like, this is a home run look. Oh, my gosh. And I heard her when I actually stepped out into the next room to go get something. She turned to the photographer and said, this is the worst makeup job I have ever seen in my life. I want to take it off.
Oh, my God!
And the photographer looked at her real quick and said, you absolutely will not. This is awesome makeup. You need to see the pictures when they're finished. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, at the time, I didn't know that had happened. I'm glad I didn't. But it was a couple of years later when I was shooting with this photographer again that he told me of this particular incident. And I'm just like, oh, all right. She didn't like it. Sucks to be her. But it is one of those things. It's don't take things personally because everybody has in their own mind how they think their face should look. You're not wrong. You're not right. It's just different. You're going to do things differently than the way I'm going to do things. I'm going to do things the way I've been trained. I'm going to look at your face objectively. I'm going to find markers. I'm going to find points. I am going to find, all right, here's where this needs to be according to your bone structure. Here's where this needs to be according to your bone structure. And it might not be the same way you do it. Mm-hmm. So you may very well think it might be the worst makeup you've ever seen. And it's because it's the way I would do it. It's what I would do to your face, not what you would do to your face. And models, clients have to be able to get outside themselves in order to understand that. And the makeup artist themselves need to understand that, first off, sometimes you can't ever make a client happy.
Right.
They might just be that person that you cannot make happy.
Right, right.
And if that's the case, that's not a reflection of you. It's not a reflection of your skill. It's a reflection of their own insecurity that they're just not going to be happy unless they do it themselves because no. And
their way is always the right way.
Exactly.
And you cannot convince them of any other.
Exactly. And when that is what you're dealing with or what you run up against, you have to be the bigger person. You have to have enough sense of self to realize, okay, this has nothing to do with my credibility or my ability to put makeup on. This has to do with you're just not gonna be happy. So I need to cut my losses and go. So please, please, please don't take anything that personally. It's just makeup. It washes off at the end of the day.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I mean,
Shannon, for the photographers, brides, models that want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
How can they reach me?
Yes.
You can follow me on Instagram. It is WonderCat2015. You can find me on Facebook. You just search my name, Shannon Prince. You can email me. My email address is shannonprincemakeup287@gmail.com.
It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I mean, I could listen to you and talk with you for hours to come because what you do makes my job so much easier, okay? As we said, let's get it right in the camera, okay? So we don't have that post-editing nightmare to worry about, okay? You do a fantastic job, and if no one tells you this, I will. I do appreciate what you do, okay?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. So, I appreciate that you appreciate it.
So, in closing, I would like to say a thank you for tuning into this episode of The Model Connection. I remind you to like, follow, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on social media at Model Connection Podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.